as he keeps.
This is Prophecy Keepers Radio, coming to you worldwide on the internet. Visit prophecykeepers.com today.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from the tops of the Rocky Mountains, which in my book at least is better than the high desert, you know what I mean? That's a wave to Art Bell. Art, we love you. Oh, you know, if it wasn't for you, I don't know what would happen in this world. Anyway, before we introduce our guest, I'd like to tell you about the mission of the White Roots of Peace Council through Prophecy Keepers Radio. The White Roots of Peace Council was founded through the efforts in the 1950s and 60s of Tuscarora Faith Keeper, some people call Sachem, Mad Bear Anderson. Mad Bear walked west in 1985, but he left a giant wake behind him. And our mission is to introduce people to the Six Nations Iroquois plan of peace that was delivered by the peacemaker, Daganoweda, to Iowatha, otherwise known as Hiawatha. This is a valid story, an ancient mission, and we stand at a crossroads, as you all know. Our guest this evening is my friend John James. Was a friend of a friend, and we ended up doing a website together, and John has a fantastic product he wants to tell you about. And the reason I want you to know about this product is some years ago, Chumash Elder Chokosh Aho'o was called back to Oripi, where 20 years previous she had brought up her children for almost a year and lived with the elders. And so a few years ago, she went to Oribe, which is the center of the Hopi prophecy. We love the elders over Hote Vela, but Hopi prophecy, we believe, is all about Oribe. But oddly enough, Chokosh Aho'o went instead over to Hote Vela, and she was there for 2 days, and nobody came. Finally, the second day, a messenger appeared and said, if you go to Oribe, they'll deliver the message to you. So it was already dark. She drove over there, bedded down for the night with her kid. No, she didn't have her kids at this time, but early in the morning she got up just at the crack of dawn and to relieve herself. And she was in the process of doing so, and you can hear her. This is her story. You can hear her interview. I want you to listen to it. But elders came shuffling around the corner. I can't remember how many she said, but she said it was a whole gaggle of them. And they didn't say a thing. They just walked up to her, and they had a message for her. And that message today is called the Hopi 10. It is a checklist to prepare yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally for what lies ahead in the last days. Most important, we're going to be guiding our broadcast. Our theme, every week, will be one of the Hopi 10. I believe it's number 5 or 6 is Where is Your Water? And, you know, over the years, we've all been introduced to water, you know, purifiers and filters but the guest we're going to be speaking with tonight, knows more about this subject, unfortunately, he's had the same kind of problems that Ben Stein has produced portrayed in the recent movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. But tonight, we're going to be talking with John James. We're going to talk about accelerated water. John, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Blue Otter. Good evening. Good evening.
Oh, my gosh. Our director this evening is Magid Ben Yosef, and he didn't give me the throat cut sign, he was about to. he's been a guest time or two. Anyway, John, tell us about civilizations, rises and falls, and water.
Well, basically speaking, I've studied back for years on the different civilizations. Like, let's take Rome, for example. In Rome, they had lead in the pipes in Rome. And the lead, of course, was a heavy metal that really perverted the Roman thinking. And so it just eventually led to their downfall. The same in Egypt. They planned things incorrectly. The elders told them how to do water and how to take water and where to build along the rivers there, and the younger types didn't listen to them. And we had the same problems in Europe. Too many people too close to water, where they were putting, you know, sewage and other things back into water. It was all profit. And then in the United States here, the colonials, the same thing happened. When the colonials came here, they didn't respect the ways of the American Indian, and they built too close to things, and we had sanitation problems, which we still have today, up and down rivers. And then they industrialized this country, the profiteers from wherever, Europe and whatever, and we just have one, we've disturbed the natural spirit of the water, and the water can't fight back. It's just too much for the water to fight back. So it goes, the good water goes deeper and deeper underground to try to purify itself again. And now, of course, we have Canada, it's a beautiful country, but we have a lot of pollution in Canada, and a lot of it filters its way down here. We have the large profiteers from the steel companies and up in Canada, the paper mills that have just devastated many of the beautiful lakes and rivers up there. And I heard not too long ago a Canadian naturalist saying there aren't too many lakes in southern Canada that aren't completely polluted, and the same with the rivers. So what do you do to change the whole story? I mean, because when the water that you drink is, your body's made of over 85% water, so if you're drinking polluted water, obviously it keeps degrading the civilization down and down. And it was horrible what they did out in the south, southwest and west and the northwest, when they let the capitalists come in and start panning for gold and other materials and doing this mining with large hoses. And they disrupted a lot of the minerals that the water needed, but they disrupted them so fast that the water, it's living, it has a spirit of its own, and it rebels against it, so it moves deeper into the ground or away from those areas. And that's why we have the problems that we have today with so much mineral mining out there, and water can only handle so much minerals, and then it in a sense dies or really kind of hibernates. And so it's been our problem through civilization. When you have bad water, your civilization goes down the drain. And because it's actually like drinking living blood, drinking water, good water.
Oh,
like,
wow. You know what just hit me? You know, the prophecy, prophecy talks about 2/3 of drinking water. Or what was the proportion that the Bible says is going to be polluted in the latter days? The oceans, pollution in the oceans. Some kind of red plume in the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go on to that, let me ask you a question. What do you know about Cahokia?
I don't have any idea what you're
asking. The only reason why is Cahokia became a megalopolis. You know, it was nothing. It had been nothing like it in Indian history. But nobody knows why it went under. You know, and people thought, well, maybe they'd be forced to, you know, too much, but, you know, it might have been water, and the Mayans fell because of water. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, that was basically what I was saying, and so water evaporates and retreats to the best place it can, and water is alive. I'm sorry, people don't understand that it's not just a liquid, it's a living liquid, and so your best water retreats through evaporation. It goes elsewhere, into the high mountains or like into the Himalayas, some mm-hmm. of your finest waters, or into the deepest jungles. It goes where the more advanced water leaves that area and leaves it to the less advanced water, and because it has to keep that memory of what it is. And that's how it does that. It you know, it's just like if somebody is in a neighborhood that's not good, you know, and they're good people, well, they move away because they want to maintain who and what they are, and water is no different. A lot of people just don't understand that water isn't a liquid that you drink or take a bath in. It's a living entity, and we have to assist it now. We don't have an option anymore, and you can see, I've studied enough of the different native tribes of the United States that it's painfully aware that a lot of this problem started with the pollution in the rivers. And you know, the colonialists brought it with them. And they made Europe a cesspool, and they were going to do the same thing here. And
wow.
So water is always trying to keep its integrity, and unless you're helping it and assisting it, and filtering it isn't assisting it. It's just filtering it. It doesn't bring back its natural nature. It doesn't bring back its memory of what it is. It's locked inside that, just like a virus is locked inside of a computer, you know, that you can't get out. It's in there, but you've got to be able to get it out, and that's what I do, is unlock it so that it can come back out and do what it has to do.
One of my past guests works spiritually with water. Actually, two of them have worked with Dr. Emoto, but one of my guests taught people how to get bad forces, call them evil or whatever, but remember it's something bad, and there's ways to get rid of that spiritually. But the reason why I wanted everybody, my audience, because I pledged to my audience years ago, I want to help you prepare. I've never seen anything like this because... you know, I'm very heavy, and I've been drinking accelerated water now for, well, I don't know, at least 3, 4, 5 months. And I tell you what, this water tastes naturally sweet. It's slightly alkaline, so it's kind of one of those tastes that you can't quite put your finger on. And but it tastes sweet, and it gives you energy. I like to drink it. I don't like it warm. And I called John and said, why is it that I get so much energy from this water? And you explained to me, but over the weeks, this has really given me a lot of impetus to get up and get moving. So go on, John.
Well, again, what we have to look at here, the reason people drink something, you like to drink beverages when they're, I should say water, when it's hot, is it releases energy. And people don't realize that frozen or near freezing, 39.2 degrees, releases energy too.
I'm drinking some right now.
Right. And water at 39.2 degrees is incompressible. You cannot compress it. I don't care how big, I may be speaking a little bit too much for some people, but in other words, if you tried to push the water together at 39.2 degrees, I don't care if you use the weight of the world trying to push it, you can't push it. It becomes incompressible. And water is alive because it can evaporate. And water cannot be destroyed. It's the only thing that God created that cannot be destroyed. The earth can be destroyed. Everything else can be destroyed, but water, if there was a nuclear blast that blasted the whole earth into smithereens, you'd still have water in an evaporated state. It would cool down and become ice chunks. It would flow through space, and that's what we have. In outer space, we have ice chunks floating the size of a sun or bigger that are floating through space. And people don't understand water. You cannot destroy water. It's impossible to destroy water. It took me 2 years to comprehend that. And I said, well, if you did this or if you did that, it can't be destroyed. You can radiate it. You can do everything to it, but you can't destroy it. It will evaporate, go back into its higher self, and wait until it can go to where it has to be.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. As I said, what's incredible is that 39.2 degrees is where water releases its energy, unless there's a way you can tap it, and that's what I've done. But water is the most fantastic thing in the world. It washes away everything. It washes away problems. People say, well, why do I cry when I'm sad? Because it's washing away the memory of what you're carrying. And so people who cry, it's good because it's washing, literally, those tears are washing away that vibration and that memory to go elsewhere. And it's the most incredible thing that there is. And water can do anything. It is the most healing thing we have. When they call it the universal solvent, what they really mean to say is the universal solution.
Yeah.
And the solution to all of our concerns. In one drop of energy, in one drop of water, we have enough energy to power a major city for a day. In one drop of water, if we would just be able to unlock that power. That's how much energy water carries in one drop.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Magid Ben Yosef, our Torah teacher, puts the Apocalypse of John, chapter 8, otherwise known as Book of Revelations. Chapter 8, verse 8, and it says, Then the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And I know you're going to be talking tonight about how you can reclaim rivers. See, we've got this problem, particularly in the rivers back east, with necrotizing. Keep talking, John. I'll shut up.
Well, it's fine. You have a lot to say. The basic problem with our water today, since we did all the mining that we've done and a lot of things that we've done, we have stirred up the earth, and the water is the blood of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We've created an open wound, just like if somebody created a, you know, cut you open, and this water is trying to heal itself. And when you look at all the damage we've done by disrupting the earth, we pulled its belly open, and we've released all these minerals and oil and everything else that we've released, and it was never intended to be that way. So what we have to do now is we have to break down, which nature does normally, and, you know, the sun, and we have UV that helps break down many things, which is a wonderful thing, and we have ways of cauterizing that wound. But first what we have to do, and I want to try to say this as simple as possible, we have to take the water that's there, revitalize that water, and the only way we can do that, which we're trying to do what nature does naturally over a long time, we're speeding up the process, and we're allowed to do that because it's beneficial. We're breaking down the solids that nature and the water can't do by itself. And so our alternative to that is to have the whole world like a pond that finally overgrowths itself with growth, and the water will then migrate away from it. And that's what is going to happen if we don't do something about the water. So in other words, it's like if you look at a pond that has no circulation, and it overgrows with weeds and lily pads and everything, and it finally chokes the water away and regrows that earth there. It might take 50 or 100 years, but the water migrates somewhere else, and it tries to be beneficial elsewhere. But we have to work, we have to go, and we have to say to the water, look, we're here to help. We're going to do this, and we're going to help you break down these solids that you can't handle. And we have all these floods that we have in the world. We have floods because man has gutted the earth, and this blood has to flow somewhere. So, for example, a healthy river will never overflow its banks. A healthy stream will never overflow its banks. It never will. And you can see part of that in Europe in some spots where even though the rivers get swollen, they will not overflow their banks because the water knows how to compensate for higher amounts of water and lower amounts of water. But in this country, we just don't have that because we have opened so many cuts in the earth, and this earth is bleeding, you might say. And we have to stop that, so we have to start to cauterize these wounds that we have, and the only way we can do that is to start breaking down these minerals and things that have leached into the water. We have to break them down into a finer state so that we can utilize them. The only place in the United States where you can see this process, how it works, is in the Mississippi Delta there. There's a lot of silt down there, and that's the river. The water in the river is moving like a double helix. It's moving, and it breaks apart all this stuff, and then it redeposits it down there in the delta down there. And but it takes over 1,500 miles to do that. Our process starts doing it right away. It can do it anywhere, on any river at any time, and it helps to break down these particles that are in the water, and it releases energy when it does that. And so it's very beneficial. And again, we have cut the so many holes in this earth through the mining and everything else that the water has no place to go anymore. We tarmac shopping centers, streets, roads, and everything. Water has no place to go. It has no place to go, so it goes where it can go. And it tries to compensate and not hurt. And more people have been killed in floods than any other pestilence, war, or anything in time. And if they would have left the water to be as it's supposed to be, all this flooding we have in the United States and a lot of these places, there wouldn't be any flooding because the water knows what to do. Not to say you should build right on the edge of a river, and a lot of people do that, and that's wrong, but if they built where they should and left the rivers alone, we wouldn't have a problem. But most of our water in this country, you know, 95% of it's contaminated one way or the other. Farmers back in the 40s and 50s used DDT, and that's made from oil, and that leaches far down into the aquifers, and you've got wells that are 1,500 feet deep that have DDT in them. And that's horrible. And so,
oh my gosh,
we have to have ways to start treating this on a national scale, because filtering water may make it drinkable, but it certainly doesn't make it healthy. It's still not. It goes to sleep, and you have to wake it back up again. And as you say, using different things, spiritual techniques, and things like that will help to revitalize water. But how many people can revitalize a lot of water at one time? You know, Dr. Yamamoto or people like that. It's wonderful research that they've done to bring people's attention to this. But how do you, on a massive scale, start to revitalize the water? How do you wake it up and say, you know, don't sleep, wake up, you know? And that's what I have been trying to do for 11 and a half years, is work with ways of revitalizing the water that are very cost-effective, extremely cost-effective. And you can treat any volume of water. It doesn't matter if it's a Lake Michigan or the Mississippi River. And the cost would be less than probably one day of the war. So, but it's just getting people to implement that and getting rid of graft and all that and just concentrate on the water. And that's what I've been doing for 11 years. And it's all scientific with me. If I can't prove I can do something under laboratory conditions and under field conditions, then it's just hit or miss. Maybe I'm having a good day and maybe things went right and maybe I'm having a bad day, so I can't change something. But with this technique that I use, it doesn't matter whether you wish the water was bad or good or anything. It'll still change the water whether you like it or not. And so what we're trying to do with water all the time is to break down solids, release energy, and take those hyperfine particles now and put them to better use like it used to be. And that's what we're looking to do. And we've done this for industrial heavy metals. We break down heavy metals. We break down bacteria. We stabilize the bacteria. In the human body, it shows that we're able to hydrate the red blood cells at a extremely fast rate. And when you start to be able to do all this, the added benefit is you release energy, and it's beneficial energy, not only for the ecosystem, but for a human being.
Well, folks, John's website is IntelWater, with two L's, IntelWater. If you're listening now or if you're listening to the archives in the future, I'd like you to visit that website and take a look at what he's got to offer. Now, these are really amazing products. When I first met you, oh, Jesus, it's about 6 months, isn't it, John?
Oh, yeah, easy. Mm-hmm.
And the products that you had were the spa balls, which
right.
I've been bathing in now, and we have somebody in the family who, I have good news for you. My friend Laura's sister, Annie, her cancer's backing off. She's been coming in every week and several times a week and bathing in with the spa balls, and which is beneficial. And everybody's been on the water now for a long time. And we, of course, we're using the little excelospheres, which are big enough to go like in a milk jug. And also, what we did is we switched over to the 5-gallon Coleman, and put a couple spa balls in it, and that's how we've been accelerating our water. But this is really amazing stuff. I mean, if you're looking for energy, folks, this is way better than drinking coffee all day long.
Well, you know, it was kind of funny, you know, just to bring it up, and this is from I wanted to just not make a plug here, but tell people if they go to the website, we have the water wands that I've sold for years now, but we've rechanged the way they are. They're more potent. They're very portable, and the water wands are very good if somebody is on the go or they're looking to just energize their bottle of water and whatnot. That's a very convenient way to take the water with you. You know, you can go to any good drinking fountain or buy a bottle from the store of water and pop one of these things in there, shake it, you know, for 15 seconds, and you're going to hit, it's going to revitalize the water. It wakes the water up. It says, okay, it's time to get back to work again, and the water will do that, you know.
So, it's amazing. And folks, I want you, for the native folks out there, I want you to know that John's a very charitable man. He's given these away to, I've got a lot of native friends, and you know, native people have a lot of health problems and challenges that others don't. And there's a lot of Apaches tonight, that are drinking a lot better water over there in Walsenburg, Colorado, and they all thank you.
Well, again, and the other thing that people have to understand about, with water, like anything else, you've got to be able to drink enough. If you take a plant and you deny it water, it will shrivel and eventually die. And human beings are the same way. When you see elderly people, and not even elderly people anymore, they could be in their 30s or 40s that start bending over and bending over. It's because they're dehydrated.
Mm.
It's dehydration. We're just like a plant. We need that water every day, and we can conserve our water to a certain point, but after that point, we have to hydrate our body. And if we don't do that, we bend over and wilt like a plant. Our skin, just like a leaf, gets all crinkly, and we bend over. And the more you bend over, the closer to death you are. It even gives you plenty of warning. People that have bad posture don't understand that a lot of their bad posture is caused from stress, which is caused from dehydration. And we've got to learn to water ourselves like you would a plant. You would never let your plant go without water. Why would you let your body go without water?
Right. And at this point, you probably recommend people read books like The Body's Many Cries for Water.
Excellent. That's an excellent book. They're on the website, too, some of those different articles, I think, that, you know, my business is educating, you know, people. I have 10,000 people use this device if one uses it, and one of the great things I like to see is the women who've been drinking this water and then had their first or second baby or third baby, and we call them accelerated babies.
Really?
They seem to.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
The one doctor said to me, because I was there right after she had the baby about 2 hours later, and he said, "It doesn't look like a baby I've delivered before." And I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Well, because it's not all crinkled up and everything."
Oh my gosh!
And it looks like it's 2 months old. It doesn't look like it's a brand new baby. It looks like
that's amazing.
Yeah,
would you mind taking some calls tonight if we can get somebody to call in?
Not at all. Not at all. My pleasure.
Okay, I'm rattling. I've got a chain between me and Don's office down there. I'm pulling the chain right now and saying, "Don, time to go to break," and I'm sure he's laughing. Anyway, Don will interrupt here in a minute. We'll go to break. I'll see if I can pay a bill or two.
Echoes of another time, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keep. Oh, yes. Ancient truth surrounds us like a lover's hand upon the heart. life you gave me grows intently through the years. Can become an awesome dream. So let the wind...
Friends, January 1st, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric measurements at a regional United States government facility. If you do not comply with the Real ID Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Recently, some people caught driving illegally have been tortured with tasers before being arrested by the New World Order police state. If you cannot legally drive, will you be able to work? To buy? To sell? Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast as it was described thousands of years ago in Revelations chapter 13 at survivalismskills.com. Learn about the Hopi Elders 10-point plan for your survival. Learn Native American survival skills at survivalismskills.com. Download your free copy of Nuclear War Survival Skills from Oak Ridge Laboratories today at survivalismskills.com. Visit survivalismskills.com today.
Well, welcome back, folks. We'd like to invite you folks to call in. The telephone number, you can go to bbsradio.com. And, John, while I'm looking for the phone number, because I'm sitting in my living room and not in front of the computer, why don't we go ahead and continue as if no one's going to call in, but maybe somebody might call in. I was surprised last week nobody called in. Russell Mean, most famous Indian in the world. You think somebody else? But I know why they didn't, because it was out of respect. Folks, if you'd like to call in, the number in the United States is 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. In Canada, call us at 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Okay, continuing in the same vein, tell us more, John.
Well, one of the things that was interesting a couple of weeks ago, I get feedback from a lot of people, hundreds of emails a week, and a lot of people tell me a lot of different things, but it was really something about people that had been drinking this water for just 3 weeks using the water wand. And one is a famous webmaster, a famous website, and all three of these people were addicted to soda pop. And it was funny, in the same week, within about 4 days, three different people had been using the wand for about a week and a half, and their comment was, and they were really addicted to it, I assume that, you know, people who drink a lot of soda pop know how hard it is to get off it. It's like trying to get off coffee. But this gentleman said he was drinking upwards of 15 cans of soda pop a day.
Oh, my gosh.
After drinking the water for a week, he just up and stopped. It wasn't like he wanted to. He just did. He had a bottle with the water wand in it, and he was drinking that water, and he just up and stopped. And I guess it's been about a month and a half now. He hasn't even drank a bottle of soda pop. And that was in one part of the country. And then there was another gentleman that called me up who had purchased three wands, one for his wife and himself, and they just kept one for their son who's in athletics. And the son who was in athletics said to them, what's that blue thing in your bottle? They said, oh, you wouldn't be concerned about that. And he is 16, being very independent and knows everything. He said, well, I want to try one anyway, you know. And without any taunting from the parents or anything, after about a week, he quit drinking soda pop, too. And he's very athletically gifted, I guess, and he's in sports. And I guess his coach even remarked he doesn't even want Gatorade anymore. And this was through no coaching from the parents. They didn't care if he did or he didn't do it, you know, because it's hard to tell a 16-year-old anything. And then there was another woman, the same thing happened.
We've got a caller.
Okay.
Caller, what's your first name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Jeannie. I'm in Arkansas.
Hi, Jeannie.
My first time to see your program.
Well, we appreciate you. What part of Arkansas, ma'am?
North Little Rock.
North Little Rock. Well, my mother was born in
North River.
Lake Village.
On the good side of the river.
What's your question tonight?
Well, mostly just a comment. I'm very intrigued by what you're doing. I've gone to the website to see about getting a water wand for my drinking water at work. But also, I was in, had not seen Blue Water on BBS before, and I love BBS, and I love the Cherokees, and have been part of the Cherokee Turkey. Well, I can't even think right now. I got nervous. Anyway, my husband and my children are Cherokee, and or half Cherokee, half Irish. But it's just always been a part of my culture. Grew up in, have family in New Mexico and Albuquerque, and have Navajo relatives. And I saw your website, I saw your program, and wanted to listen to it. And then was also intrigued with water, because I think that is so very important that that we have better water in our bodies and in our homes too. But also was very intrigued by the fact I had not thought of before that the why the rivers do not flood when they are being when they have their proper channel. Well, that was a weird word to use, but anyway, I found that very interesting, and I'm very pleased to hear you guys on the radio, and I'll be back to listen some more.
Well, Osteo, Auntie, there are many, many of you there in the Ozarks, and folks will be talking more. I'm going to see if I can, one of my traditional teachers, because I just moved here from southeast or southwest Missouri, ma'am. And there are many, 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 many Cherokee people down there. They moved down there.
Right.
Well, actually, that was our homeland. Then we moved to the southeast and then to the up around the Iroquois. But that area you're in right there, that is the most ancient Cherokee homeland on this, at least in North America. But anyway, go ahead, ma'am.
Well, then also I lived in Tennessee, right almost on the, just very near the Trail of Tears, and was part of the Turkey Town Association in Tennessee, which was a church.
Okay.
I just couldn't get it to come out.
You're definitely a cousin, ma'am. But, was there anything in specific? Now, you can go to prophecykeepers.com. If you don't want to type in Intel Water, but I got a link directly.
Well, either
place you'll see his banner. But
Blue Water's website, and I already found the water website.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a really special. What do you think, John?
Well, again, as I said for years, I think that what we have to understand is all the. The tribes have to get back together again, and I've offered to many different parts of the tribes that if they're willing to, pay costs and just a little bit of the expense, I'd be willing to help all the tribes, everybody in the tribes, get clean water again at the lodges or at their whatever, because that's what they need to do is reawaken that spirit in them too, and this I know will do it. I've just seen what it does for people, and it seems like the more native a person is to a place, the easier it is for them to respond to this. It just is, whether they be, I've seen it with African Americans, I've seen it with people in foreign countries, I've seen it with the Spanish American people. They seem to do very well with this right away. It's people who have stronger blood, the stronger blood ties to the earth seem to do better with it right away. So We're looking for anybody in any of the councils or any of the lodges that are looking to help the whole tribe. We can do this very, very, very cheap. I'm not looking to make money to help a lot of people, and we can give them thousands and thousands of gallons of this water a day. It's a very easy process to do, and it would be like going to a church and getting your water to drink, that we can set this
easy.
Up.
I mean, everybody carries around, a liter bottle of water. All you got to do is pop the water wand in, shake it a few times, right. And a few seconds, you got accelerated water.
Right. This is approved, though. What people don't understand is this is approved. This is NSF, National Sanitation Foundation, approved. When we say approved, it means that we can use these different products that we're using. to treat whole villages of people and whole cities of people who can't afford a water wand, but we can afford to treat the whole water system in a town. That means
one thing I would like to mention, and then I want to hang up and listen, because I'm very intrigued by what you guys are doing. But my brother also works with the Indian Nations. He teaches paramedics and medical EMT things to all of the Indian Nations throughout the U.S. And I'm going to mention this to him because I think it's something he'll find very interesting and possibly can spread the word for you there.
Well, that would be great. Again, this is scientifically provable. This is not something that I think works because I'm a scientific type of a person.
I kind
of
got that.
if it doesn't work scientifically, when I can clean up the worst industrial wastewater, and when I say clean it up, it's not that I mean you can drink out of that water, but you clean up the things that have to be cleaned up, like heavy metals.
Right,
and
that's, exactly.
And when you can clean that up, here's what my vision is for the world. It's not to get rich. It's to have people get what happened to me. I was killed in a car crash when I was 45 years old, and I developed this water after this crash. I was also a commissioner of air and water pollution in Illinois, and I saw how they were killing people with the water and what the things they were putting into the water. And I have spent every dollar I have to do this, and I'm not a wealthy person. I've spent every dollar. I've raised over $1 million to do this through selling these devices and that. So I'm not somebody just sitting in an office somewhere hoping it goes. What I'm looking at is that people understand how cheaply I can put it into a whole town and how even their scientists will say, yeah, it does do what you say, because I have proved this in laboratories. I've proved it out in the worst conditions. And it's so inexpensive to put into a whole city. I don't care if it's 1 million people or 25,000. They could be bathing in this water. They could be drinking this water. And they could be growing things with this water. And that's what my mission is. So
I think it's beautiful, and you have my wholehearted support.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I do want to listen to the rest of your show, so I'm not going to tie up the line any longer. But
Wanda, Auntie. Wado for calling.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, this is a very cheap. We talk about, it's not free, it's not that expensive either, folks. And tell folks about the what do they call it nowadays? The cost benefit.
Well, that's another thing too that people don't realize is that when this water, when you use this water and you're treating large amounts of this water, and it's a very, very, the process is so simple, it's just really simple. And when you're treating this water, it also has other effects too. As I said before, your animals feel better, your dogs feel better, your cats, whatever. Your plants are going to grow better. People can use this for growing to help. Their plants will grow much better, their goldfish, whatever. It all works, and it's so affordable. It would be so affordable for any town, even a small town who has a main water supply, to implement this system. It's extremely affordable. It's not millions of dollars, and it just takes the time it would take them to make some hookups, the time it would take them to repair a busted water main. They could have this hooked up into whole towns, and the whole town could be doing this. When you wash your car with this water, you don't need soap. When you wash your car with this water, you don't need it. Your glasses in your house, if they hooked it up to a whole town, your glasses would be cleaner. Everything would be cleaner in your home. You can clean with this water. You wash windows with it. It does a wonderful job of washing windows. It's better than any window cleaner, and that's just with straight municipal water. So this is what we want to get out to the people that it now you have to think about yourself drinking it, because you should. I know what miraculous things it did for me, because they didn't give me much time to live. And after I put this device, simple devices together, and started doing it, I became more healthy and healthier and healthier. And they told me I wouldn't be able to walk right again. Well, I walk 3 miles a day and I can run a short pace. They told me I wouldn't be able to use my arms again to throw a football. Well, I can throw a football fine. And I'm 58 years old, and a lot of my gray hair is gone. I had a lot of gray hair when I was 45. And I feel normal. and I don't eat designer health foods and all this. I eat just basic good foods, but I didn't have the money for vitamins and minerals. And boy, when I did have the money for vitamins and minerals and I didn't have this water, I didn't feel good most of the time. But for 10, 11, almost 11 years now, I have not had a cold, a flu, fever, anything. Nothing. I go out in cold weather. I don't get cold like I used to, and many, many people tell me that, and they say they don't get hot like they used to, and I sleep very, very well. First time in my life in the last 10 years,
I'll tell you what it's done with me.
Yeah, go right ahead.
This is really interesting. Because I'm so heavy, I spend a lot of time on my derriere. Well, I've noticed, particularly in the last couple of months, not a mental restlessness, maybe coming up from depression to into the realm of normal mental activity. It's a healthy restlessness that makes me want to get up and go do something.
That's called energy.
Yeah.
That's
I've been in a state of, I've been in a state of inertia, at least 20 years, John.
Well, I can imagine. A lot of people out there today, Blue Otter, tell me how tired they are, because they don't have any energy. And you know, people who say that they have a weight problem, you know, and feel bad about having the weight, it's because they're not getting enough of the right water. And when you drink enough of the right water, I had a woman here, 73 years old. She started with the water wands, and 2.5 weeks later, she's in a assisted living home. She lost 29 pounds. The manager of the assisted living home I call it stored water. She had the same problem. She lost 16 pounds. And both of them remarked, you know what? The funny thing is, I don't feel like eating as much as I used to. I don't feel like eating. But what the people who have to understand about having extra weight on them is that it's water. It's not, a lot of it's not fat. People say it's fat. You know how if you put fat in a skillet, how long it takes to burn it at high temperature? It takes a long time. It's the water that people are storing, and they store it to protect their different organs, to keep them cool so they don't overload. And so once you start getting the water you should be getting, the old water can now be gotten rid of, and the new water comes in. And it's nothing for people who've been on this water for a while, if they watch what they eat, to not lose weight. There's just no doubt about it. Your complexion changes. If you bathe in this water, your skin will get softer. There's just no doubt about it. I have different people tell me, you have such soft skin, you know, and it's just from the water. I don't do any great cosmetics or anything else. And when you wash in this water and bathe in this water, it's a treat. After a while, you say, my God, how could my skin be like this? We have a woman that called me up about 4 months ago and has a Down syndrome young man. Her son is about 23, and he had these horrible lesions on his legs from whatever it was. They live in Florida, and she was using our aquaspheres for about 3 weeks and having him bathe in them every day. And she was taking pictures because she says, if these things don't work, I'm sending them back. And I said, well, you have every right to do that. And here it is, about 4.5 weeks later, she said, they're almost gone, and he's had this problem since he was about 14 years old. So it's not a miracle. The miracle isn't what the product is. It's what the product does. It makes water, water again.
And you know, now, I'm going to joke around a little bit
sure.
Right here with John. Because I've got a friend by the name of, and I'm not going to, John, don't worry about it. I'm not going to tell folks what my friend thought he found. But anyway, I've got a friend who's a civil chief. His name is Three Eagles, Robert Shrewsbury. And Robert's been a treasurer all his life, and he recently developed a machine where you can find any element on the periodic table. Say if you're standing in the middle of a desert and you're looking for gold, well, his machine, through a simple antenna, L-shaped antenna, using the same process as the oil companies use to find oil, He can find gold, silver, whatever. But he thinks he might have found what's in those balls, and I won't say the exact thing, but it did have something to do with hydrogen. But before you respond to that, John, I want to tell folks, you know, everybody's seen The Wizard of Oz, and everybody's seen The Tin Man, okay? What took me so long to understand is that our bodies oxidize just like a nut and a bowl rust together. So are you, basically, it seems like, John, you're describing to me the process of, what do they call it? They call it antioxidation.
Right. Well, we've shown in lab reports, just using the water wands or the aquaspheres in water, that it brings your oxygen demand down to zero. So now your body isn't robbing oxygen from the other parts of its body to do things in there. And so, in essence, you aren't rusting away anymore. It's breaking down heavy metals inside the body. And if you go to the website, intelwater.com, you will see where we show scientifically breaking down chromium heavy metals. And, I mean, one picture's worth 1,000 words, and there's all kinds of a documentation to back that up. Now, if it could do that in a heavy metals bath, what can it do in the human body? What can it do? See, we need minerals in our body, but not at the size the minerals are. The size of minerals we get in our body are like golf balls, and they should be the size of BBs. And this process breaks down those golf ball size or these baseball sized minerals into like little BBs. And when it does that process, it releases energy. It's like when you put logs on a fire, they're real big. And when you add heat to it and start burning the logs, you do two things. You release energy, and you create that fine powder, which is good for growing and everything else. So,
John, I don't know why every hospital in this country, every nursing home,
yeah,
every school, every facility,
right,
public,
exactly. Sure.
But you know what? If the towns are hooked up to these things.
Well, here, let me explain something real quickly. To tell you, we had these tested in a hospital in Chicago. And I'm sorry, in Cook County, Illinois. The gentleman said, I think this is bunk. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let's try these in the worst environment we can, which is an X-ray processor. X-ray processors have a bath that has minerals and chemicals in it that process the X-rays. And they're closed up all the time, and there's very low flow of water in these processors, much like the human body, and they get a lot of bacteria and algae builds up in them. So we had six that we tested with the device and six that we didn't. And after a period of 1 month, all the algae was gone in the six that we installed the devices on. And he gave me reports on that. It changes the specific gravity of the water, so it makes the water lighter. And it also reduces the mold and algae. We don't want to kill all the good bacteria, but we like to say we stabilize that bacteria. Now, these were tests done in a hospital under hospital conditions with the best analytical equipment going.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
That's just like the human body. When you put something in a dark place where there's very little water and it's dark and it's humid, bacteria and mold will grow. Well, in six of them, within 30 days, there was no more bacteria or mold growing in them.
Now, folks, the show's almost over, and I want to tell them, you know, if you're thinking about getting ready for hard times, it's something you're going to need to have. Because when you get under stress, you're going to need something that's going to help you even out your energy and help you think better and think clearer and, John's not making any claims because of the FDA,
nope.
You know, but that's the way I feel. And I tell you what, I've got 10 people around me that all agree with me.
If you're looking to drink more water, then this is the only thing I know, and I've researched everything. It is the only thing I know that will help you to drink more water, and that's a claim I will make to anybody, because you will drink more water.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. You will drink more water. And even if your water isn't the greatest in the world, even the fact that you drink more water using this process, that in itself is worth 100 times what you pay for it.
We have a question here from Magid Ben Yosef. He, our Torah teacher, our resident, he's one of the few Gentile, authorized Gentile Torah teachers. Well, yeah. Well, he's not a Gentile. He's a Jew versus a Jew. But he's authorized to teach Torah to non-Jews. But anyway, what he wants to know, speaking of Jews, that's our lead in, he wanted to know which is healthier, orange juice or accelerated water.
Well,
sounds like we've got a caller, believe it or not. Caller, what's your name? Well, folks, we ran over. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Otter. God bless
Thanks
you.
Thanks a lot. Hey, bye-bye.
Right. Thank you.
Wind blow, let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper, prophecy
Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times. From the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Levant, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.